On this episode of Podcastification, I want to talk to you about sound quality and the questions I get all the time about fixing it. My name is Kerry Green, and I am the client happiness guy at podcastfasttrack.com, and this is Podcastification. Podcastification is all about you. Teaching you how to podcast, how to put into practice the best practices that I and my team have learned in working with hundreds of clients. You are going to podcast better from listening to this show. If you like what you hear on Podcastification, please just hit the pause button, swipe to the sharing function on your app, and share this episode with somebody you know will benefit. And if you'd like to get in on more Podcastification goodness, you can do it by subscribing to our Podcast Optimizer email series, and I promise you, you won't get lots of junk. You'll just get one actionable email a week. Go to podcastfasttrack.com/optimizer. That is enough of that kind of stuff. Let's get you podcastificated right away. All right, let me give you a scenario. You recorded this great interview with an incredible guest who brought great value to your show. You did it in your office, in the same room together, and the synergy you felt and the eye contact and body language, I mean, all that contributed to this great piece of audio. You hit stop on your recording and you go back to listen to it, and oh my goodness, it sounds terrible. Your voice doesn't seem loud enough. Your guest voice seems kind of too loud, almost clipping. There's this weird echo where you can hear your guest's voice real faintly in your channel of the recording, and vice versa. You can hear your voice real faintly in their channel of the recording when they're not speaking. What in the heck happened? Well, these are the kind of questions I get all the time from clients about their audio. What can they do to get better audio? And so this episode, I have no idea how long it's going to be, but I want to go through all the basic things that you need to do to ensure that you're getting good audio, whether it's just you speaking or whether it's you and a guest via distance or in the same room. We're going to try and cover all of that on this episode. Okay, let's start out with the condition of your room. That's the most important. And this applies to you in-house where you're doing your recording. And it also applies to your guest in the conditions that they are in when they are recording. All right. And we could refer to this as room acoustics. Now, in order not to get too techie about this, let me just explain it this way. Sound operates in waves, and those waves, just like waves in the ocean, move in a general direction, and they bounce off of things when they come in contact with them. Well, sound waves bounce off of hard surfaces more easily than they bounce off of soft surfaces. It's just simple logic. So think about the room that you record in. Is the room you're in full of hard surfaces, or is it full of soft surfaces? You want to make sure you're in a soft room. That's how I refer to it. You need a soft room. So just as an example, one of the best recording spaces I ever had was a big walk-in closet where I built a desk in the back corner. And hanging in the closet was what? Clothes. And on the shelves above me were blankets. And the floor was carpeted. I mean, you get the point. There's a lot of soft stuff in there of varying shapes to soak up those sound waves so that they don't come back and echo into my microphone. See, that's really what I'm trying to avoid. So when you hear an audio that sounds kind of ringy or echoey or boomy or kind of hollow, a lot of times it has to do with the room that you're recording in. It's too hard. So you need to do things to soften up the room. Now, first off, it'd be better if you just found a place that is continually soft, like that walk-in closet that I referred to. But you can fix a hard room in many cases. First off, you can put a rug on the floor. If you're in a hard surface floor room, man, get a rug on that floor ASAP. Another thing that people don't think about often, but which makes a significant difference, is putting something soft on your tabletop. So under your laptop computer, underneath your mic, across the entire table that you're using in the room, put something soft, a towel, a blanket, a comforter or something that can absorb sound, keep it from reflecting off of that hard surface and back into your microphone or the microphone of a guest if you have a guest in-house. Okay, other things you need to consider is windows. Is there a way you can keep the sound waves from bouncing off of the glass? Maybe a window covering of some sort. If you, all you have is blinds, close the blinds. Blinds are going to be softer than a hard glass window, okay? So you want to do everything you can. Maybe just temporarily, while you're recording the episode, you want to hang a blanket over the window or something like that. Use clothespins or binder clips or something like that. Just figure out a way to soften up the room. If you can have soft furniture in the room, like a big overstuffed couch or big chairs. If you can have soft wall hangings on the room, anything that will soften up the room is going to improve your overall sound. There are acoustic type tiles you can buy on Amazon. I'll put a link to a couple that I recommend in the show notes for this episode. You can buy those fairly inexpensively, put them around the room, and there's also videos that show you the best places to put those. I'll put a link to one of those in this episode as well. And you can kind of soften up your room. Right now, I am recording this, believe it or not, in the bunk room of the RV in which my family lives. Now, you may not know that. My wife and I sold our house in December of 2018. We bought a brand new Class A RV, and we specifically got a model that had a bunk room. So two bunks in this tiny little closet space. Okay, so I ripped the bunks out. I set up inside for my podcasting studio, and I put the acoustic foam, like I'm talking to you about, all over the room. I just wanted to blanket it the best I can. I also have a pull-down blind that goes over the door itself because the door is a hard surface. And it's one of those accordion type blinds that has the cells in between. So it helps to muffle and keep sound waves from bouncing off of that hard door. And that's just an example of the kinds of things you can do to soften up a room. And I think the room acoustics are the most important part of preparing for a good environment in which to record. Now, let's talk about this in the case where your guest is not on location with you. You might have your room optimized for a good soft sound recording, but your guest doesn't necessarily do that. I am of the opinion that the guest's recording sound is your responsibility. So you need to advise them ahead of time about the kind of room they should be in. It should not be a conference room. They usually have hard surface tables, hard floors, windows all around. That is going to be a terrible recording environment. And you need to educate them on this. You could say something to them like, you need to be in a nice quiet room, but they're going to think their office is a nice quiet room. But think about the typical business office. Has hard surface desks, has windows, has very little hanging on the walls, might even have a hardwood floor or a linoleum floor of some kind. Man, you don't want that. You want to educate them on the kind of room they should be in. So mention a walk-in closet. Mention a room with big, soft furniture. Mention a room where others aren't going to be coming in and out often. Mention those things to put images in their mind of the kind of room they need to be in. And explain to them that it's a soft room, a room with lots of soft things in it, window coverings, etc. Advise them to pull down the window coverings if they have a window in the room, all of that. And you can do this both ahead of time when you invite the guest and confirm they're going to be on your show. You can send them a little sheet, and I'll include a copy of mine in the show notes for this episode, that advises them on the type of room to be in. But you can also do it once you get them on your recording solution. You just put on your headphones and you listen to their audio as it's coming through your headphones. Does it sound echoey? Does it sound boomy? Does it sound like they are in a room that is not optimal for sound? Now, you're going to have to be the judge on this in terms of what you want to do. But my recommendation is that if your guest has not followed your instructions and is not in a room that is conducive for good sound, you postpone that recording until you can get them in that kind of a room. And highlight it this way. Tell them, I want to present you and the expertise and value you have to bring to my audience in the very best, most professional light possible. And a big echoey sound on your audio is not going to do that. So I would rather we postpone and figure out a place where you can record that sounds better than to move ahead and not get a good recording that's going to make you look bad. Do you see what I did there? I put it on the guest's plate and I appealed to their ego to their desire to sound good and be presented well. And that might serve as a motivation to them to, yes, postpone the episode and come back when we can find a better solution for the recording environment. Now, that brings me to one other thing about the guests, and that is the microphone they're using. See, you're probably going to have a decent microphone yourself, but not all guests will. So here's what I recommend in this order for the recommendations you make to your guests. I would recommend, first of all, if they have an external USB microphone, like a Samson Q2U, there's a link in the show notes of this episode, an ATR 2100 or ATR 2005, again, links in the show notes for this description. If they have those kinds of USB plug-in microphones, that's going to be great. Coach them about how to set it up close enough to their mouth. We'll talk about mic technique here in a moment, and use that first. If they don't have that, the next thing I would recommend is a headset mic. Now, there's a lot of people who hate gaming headsets for podcasting, but hey, it's a lot better than the microphone you have built into your computer. You don't want your guests using that even as a last resort. So if they have a headset microphone that they use for customer service or for gaming or something like that, that will be a lot better. Just make sure that the microphone itself is placed kind of to the side of their mouth rather than directly in front of it. You'll avoid a whole lot of breathing sounds and a whole lot of popped P's and T's and S's by doing so. The next thing I would recommend, and these are in order of quality, the next I would say after that headset microphone is a lavalier microphone. So I'm going to put a link in the show notes of this episode to a lavalier microphone that costs about $11, and it's a USB plug-in microphone. And it actually sounds pretty amazing for what it is and for the amount of money it costs. That would be much better than any of the options I'm going to give you after this. Okay. So I have clients who purchase that microphone for guests who don't have a USB microphone and ship it to them ahead of time. It's only $11. Amazon ships for free. So you are investing $11 in quality audio for that episode. And it communicates to that guest both your generosity and your commitment to getting a quality product that features them. So when you speak about it in those terms. Now, naturally, you're going to have to find out ahead of time what kind of equipment they have. Do they have a USB microphone? I mean, ask detailed questions, because they may say, yeah, I have a plug-in microphone, but it's one of those old microphones on a wand that sits on the tabletop, you know, that came with Windows 95, you know. You need to ask specific questions. Find out what kind of microphone they have. And if they have a Blue Yeti microphone, which many people do, that sits on the tabletop in front of you, they're going to need to know how to use that right. Many podcasters don't even use it correctly. I will put an image in the show notes for this episode that you can look at that shows you from Blue Yeti themselves how you should be using that microphone. You'll want to give that to your guest if they have a Blue Yeti. All right, so all of that was really about room acoustics and getting the best sound you can from your guests. Now, I want to talk next about microphones. Now, microphones are one of those things that everybody seems eager to talk about and everybody has an opinion about. And naturally, I've got my opinion as well. But my opinion is based on this. You want what's going to sound the best, but also is the simplest to use. This goes for you and for your guests. So those recommendations I made about your guests, have that in mind. Keep it simple for them. Don't make it technical. Just make it easy for you to get good quality audio of them. Now, when I talk about mics in this section, I'm talking about for you primarily, the kind of microphone you want to be using. I'm going to go through these in order of both quality and price. Okay, I'm going to start with the cheapest in terms of price and go forward. And the reason I'm doing it this way is this. All of these microphones I'm going to recommend to you have good sound. They really do. Honestly, they have good sound for what they are. But you may only have a certain amount of money you can spend. So that's why I want to go through it in this way. Okay, first, I want to point you to the Samson Q2U. It is a USB and XLR microphone that can be plugged in directly to your computer or to a mixing board. That's what those two kinds of connections are for. The Samson Q2U usually runs right about $60 on Amazon. It's pretty cool. If you're going to buy it with a boom arm as well. There's packages like that that you can see. So I would encourage you to do that. And one of the things I like about the Samson Q2U is that it doesn't have a lot of hand noise. That means as you're holding it, if you move your hand a little bit, it doesn't pick that up very well, which is great. You don't want it to pick it up. So if last resort you had to hold that microphone, it's going to be insulated enough that you're probably not going to get much noise from moving it around. So that's great. The next microphone I want to talk about is the ATR, which is Audio-Technica ATR2100. This is a standard mic podcasters have been using for a long time. It also plugs in USB and XLR, same as the other, but it has a little more hand noise than the Samson does. So just keep that in mind. Both of these mics are what are called dynamic mics, which in essence just means they don't pick up as much room noise as a condenser style microphone would. So that's that. The next one I'm going to give you is an Audio-Technica 2005. That's what I used up until just 6 months ago for the majority of my podcasting career so far. It's a great microphone. It's the same USB XLR connection, and it's kind of the big brother to the 2100. It's really not that much difference in quality, but if you want it, it looks a little different. It's black rather than the silver, and it looks kind of cool. All right, going on from there, a lot of people use the Blue Yeti or the Blue Snowball. I typically don't recommend these because they're harder to use in terms of how you set them up, and they have dials on them that have to be adjusted and that kind of thing. If you're interested in using those, or perhaps you already have those, I've already mentioned, there is a graphic from Yeti that I'm including in the show notes of this episode that'll show you how to position and use that microphone the best. The main thing is a lot of people speak into it at the wrong place. They have it set up so they're speaking kind of into the front of it rather than into the tip of it. Just go to the image and you'll see what I mean. Yeti has a cool little image. They've shown really well how to use it. The Snowball, it's kind of the same thing. I don't recommend it, but if you want it, Blue Yeti and Blue Snowball are used quite often. Now, I'm only going to give you one more mic, and that's the mic I'm using right now. It's made by Rode, R-O-D-E, and it's called the Procaster, the Rode Procaster. I really like the Procaster. It also is a USB and XLR microphone. It also is a dynamic microphone, but I do notice, just with my ear, a difference in quality between the Rode Procaster and the ATR microphone I was using before. I really like the Rode. It fits in a boom mount, in a shock mount. It's a really cool mic. I would recommend it. I'll have links to all of these microphones in the show notes. Issues like we're addressing in today's episode are so pertinent for every podcaster because none of us just naturally knows how to do this recording stuff the right way. There are people, thankfully, who have been in the audio industry for a long time and have learned these things and have taught us all the best practices. And that's all I'm doing today is I'm trying to pass on to you best practices for using your microphones, your room, your guests, or your recording equipment effectively, in a way that makes for a better quality recording. Now, I mentioned an episode or two ago about what's coming in podcasting, and the quality of your show is really going to matter. It's going to matter more and more as time goes on and more people get involved in podcasting. And that brings me to this point. This little mid-roll section today is all about helping you optimize what you're doing. Because what happens for all of us is we get so enmeshed with what we're producing in terms of content and how we're producing it and the practices that we're following that we either don't see or don't recognize that we're doing things that really aren't the best thing or are things that don't serve us well and really aren't getting that much return for our effort. And we often need someone to come in from the outside and help us see, someone who has insight into the industry and best practices, someone who works alongside others who are doing podcasting and sees the mistakes made and can help us avoid those. You see, what I'm talking about here is a podcast coach. I'm offering, as well as our typical monthly podcasting services, podcast consulting. And I like to call it, you know, kind of doing a podcast audit, where we would sit down over a number of sessions and talk about your podcast. I would listen to your episodes. I would hear what you're doing. And I would ask you some very specific questions about your practices for everything from recording your episodes and planning them all the way through the distribution, promotion, all of that kind of stuff to make sure that you're doing what is actually going to benefit you the most. And here's one of the things people don't realize about this. These approaches change according to your niche. and I'm not an expert in every niche, but I do work with clients in a wide variety of niches, from private label sellers to fine artists to financial planners to real estate investors to salespeople, marketing professionals. I mean, on and on and on the list of our clients goes over the 5 years we've been in business. And I have a lot of insight into a lot of niches. And I believe some of those things transfer from one niche to another. Other things, we'll just have to do some research together into your niche to discover what might be best. If you're interested in getting a podcast audit, or you're interested in some podcast consulting, kind of the same thing, you could reach out to me, Carey, C-A-R-E-Y, at podcastfasttrack.com, and mention to me that you heard this specific episode of Podcastification, and I'll toss a discount your way. All right, let's get back to those best practices for getting your audio right. Now, let me say this. Microphones themselves are only going to serve you as well as you know how to use them. So this next section may be the most important and overlooked thing of all that I have to tell you about this, and that is the issue of mic technique. Okay, when we talk about mic technique, we're talking about how you use the microphone. How are you making use of it? It's great equipment, but it's only going to give you good results if you use it properly. So let's talk first of all about this big fancy term they use called proximity. Proximity really has to do with how close are you to the microphone. Now, all microphones, no matter what kind they are, tend to pick up lower frequencies better when the source of the sound is closer to the microphone. So if your mouth is too close to the microphone, it's going to make you sound kind of bassy. Here, I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to move closer to my microphone. Right now, I've got my lips touching the little foam thing over my microphone, and I haven't changed my voice tone or pitch at all. But I can even see on the sound wave right here, not only is it louder, it's producing more low frequencies than it would otherwise. Now I'm going to back off to my normal range of speaking, and I'm still speaking with the same volume. And my lips are literally about 3 to 4 inches from the microphone right now. And that's what you want. You want your mouth to be 3 to 4 inches from the microphone. And a boom arm for your microphone makes this much easier because you don't have to have it sitting on a table and leaning over toward it and trying to keep your mouth there and your back starts aching and all that. You want it easy to speak into. And so a boom arm is great for this. Now that proximity issue has to do a lot with the quality of your sound. I have a new client who, when I heard their first recording, all of the voices seemed kind of distant and far away. The room echo was really bad. And when they sent me a picture of how they were using those microphones, it became apparent what the problem was. Their microphones were on boom stands, but they were placed as much as 8 to 10 inches away from the mouths of those speaking. Now, you can just imagine the sound I was hearing was exactly what they were doing. They were too far from their microphones. Again, I'm going to say it. Get your lips 3 to 4 inches from the end of your microphone. That is the issue of proximity. That is where you want to place the microphone. Now, let's talk about a related thing to that. That is called mic angle. Mic angle has to do with where that mic is in relation to that 3 to 4 inches from your mouth. You can do what's called on axis, which means it's directly in front of your mouth, pointing directly at your mouth, the tip of it is. That is called on axis, and it's going to give you a very clear, very precise, very good sound, but it will be more prone to pick up what are called plosives, which are when you pop your P or you S your S, you know, those harsh sounds that can come through. T's and K's often will have those sounds as well. On axis mic technique, directly in front of your mouth, is going to pick those up more. So I typically practice what is called off axis mic technique. And what that means in my case is that I have my boom mic positioned such that the tip of my microphone is actually pointing at my chin. Okay, so it's not pointing upward toward my mouth. It's pointing toward my chin, and I'm speaking kind of over the top of the microphone. So it's lower than my mouth, right below my mouth. And that way, the air that causes those P's and S's is actually going over the top of the microphone rather than directly into it. And so think that through when you're setting up your mic. How can you get it so that your microphone placement is either off axis or on axis according to your preference? That's going to take us to the next issue of whether or not you should use what's called a foam cover or a pop filter for your microphone. Now, you've probably seen both the foam covers and the pop filters for microphones. The foam cover is just a little cover that goes over the tip of your microphone. The pop filter is a little round screen that hangs down from your mic stand and goes between your mouth and the tip of the microphone. Both of these are for the sake of reducing those plosives, the S's, the P's, the K's, the T's. Now, in my view, if you practice off-axis mic technique, where it's not directly in the line of the breath that's coming out of your mouth, you will avoid 90% of those plosives just by doing that. You won't really need to worry about a foam cover or a pop filter. However, my setup does include a foam cover on the tip of the microphone. And I choose a foam cover specifically because I just don't like this round thing hanging in front of me between the microphone. I just don't like it. It's one more thing to be in my way. And I tend to talk with my hands some, so I've been known to hit that thing now and then. As a matter of fact, I still hit my microphone sometimes. So just be aware that these foam covers and pop filters are very effective by diffusing that air that's coming through your mouth. And you may want to consider one of those. They're not expensive. I mean, the foam covers are probably a buck, buck and a half maybe. And the little pop filter that goes in front of the microphone, those are 10 bucks, 15 bucks, something like that. You can find them on Amazon all over. You can even get packages where you purchase your microphone, boom arm, and a pop filter all together as one. So check those things out. See if those are things that might be of benefit to you. Okay, now here finally, I want to talk to you about placement of the people who are doing the recordings if you're in the same room. This is vitally important because you need to understand a dynamic that I call vocal bleed. This is where you have a scenario like the one I described at the top of this podcast episode, where you can hear the other person's voice quietly, but in the background of your own recording channel, if you're recording in separate channels, which you should be recording in if you have more than one person. It just makes it easier to edit that way. And what happens when you have that vocal bleed is it makes editing incredibly hard. And it also, if you don't edit at all, is going to create this echo sound in the background because you're not only picking up their voice as it echoes through the room, you're picking it up as it echoes through the room and comes into a different microphone than the one they're speaking into. And you don't want that. So here's some advice on how to approach this. Okay. I have a graphic I'm going to include in the show notes for this episode. That is, imagine looking down on a table where people are seated to do a recording. It's a rectangular table. And what I want you to do is set up each person who's speaking on an opposite corner of that table. So you would have one person at the top right corner and the other person at the bottom left corner. You want them as far apart from each other as can be. You want their microphones positioned according to the practices we talked about earlier in such a way that they are speaking a little bit off axis into their microphones, but not with the other person in their direct line of sight. So let me walk through this. You want your mouth to be pointing away from the other person's microphone, and albeit the back of their microphone, you want it to be pointing away because you don't want your sound waves going directly over to where they are, bouncing off the wall behind them and coming into their microphone. You want to make it a little more indirect than that. You want your body positioned where you're not facing directly at them. It's just going to help. You also want something soft on that tabletop so that you can cut down on the amount of echo in the room. Now, what do you do when you have three people in the same room or four people or more people in the same room? Well, it gets harder and harder to avoid that vocal bleed the more people you have in the room. But what you want to try to do is have everyone practice that good mic technique where they're 3 to 4 inches from their own microphone. And you want everyone to be as far away from everyone else as possible. So even if you had the opportunity to seat people in separate chairs without a table and have a boom mic for each participant where they don't have to touch it and put them in different corners of the room, that would be better. Just make sure that their mouths are not pointing at the other person's microphone in any case, because you want to avoid those sound waves bouncing off the wall behind them into their microphone. This gets a little complicated and it gets a little tricky, but it can be done. Using a dynamic mic for each participant is going to help with this because it's not going to pick up as much room noise. All those microphones I mentioned earlier are dynamic mics, so you can take some of those as options. The lavalier mics sometimes are a good option for this because you're able to place it closer to the mouth of the person who's wearing it. And if they are separated far enough, those mics tend not to pick up the people that are far away. So just consider those things as you consider the placement of the people in the room.
Hello.
All right. Now realize that's a lot of stuff and it's some of it technical, but man, it's what you need to know to get good quality audio in your own recording environment and in the recording environment for your guests. I would love to hear your feedback on this episode. You can always reach me at Carey, C-A-R-E-Y, at podcastfasttrack.com. And I would love to interact with you about consulting for your podcast, like I mentioned in the mid-roll, if you're interested in that at all. So that's all I got to say for today. You know what time it is. It's time for you to go out and make it a podcastificating day.
This show is brought to you by Podcast Fast Track, where my team provides professional podcasting services without the time suck. Full production, editing, and show notes all in one monthly subscription package. You can find out more at podcastfasttrack.com. Now go out and make it a podcastificating day. Audio editing and show notes by podcastfasttrack.com. Get 15% off your first month by mentioning this show.